We have a treat tonight. We have a presentation written by Steve George, and he's been working on this since last Christmas, if not before. And he starts thinking a year ahead each year, and he's put a lot of work into this. I know the cast has put a lot of work into it, and we're just going to begin with a word of prayer. And if you don't have a program, there's a bunch of them out in the foyer. Feel free to go grab one. And after the play is done, we're going to have a little bit of a transition time. We have a quartet that's going to sing for us afterwards. And so there might be a little bit of a kind of an intermission in between the two programs. So again, thank you for coming out. And let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful gift of love. Lord, for the fact that you are a God of grace, that you have not held our sins against us. Lord God, that you do not hold a record of wrongs. Lord, we just thank you that we can experience such an amazing amount of forgiveness from you, and then we get to experience it as we walk with one another side by side. So Lord, we just thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for our head and for this amazing event when Jesus Christ came into this world. So Lord, bless the cast, bless all the crew who are working behind the scenes, and we just ask that you would be glorified in everything that we hear and see tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, Prince of Peace, that is...
Good morning, Mother.
Good morning, James.
Are you feeling up to seeing a visitor today?
Oh, I feel especially well today, yes.
That's great, because a man who's been traveling with the Apostle Paul would like to speak with you about Yeshua. His name is Luke. He's outside. May I bring him in?
Of course.
Mother, this is Luke. Luke, this is Mary, my mother, and the mother of our Lord and Savior, Messiah Yeshua.
Greetings, Luke. Welcome to our home.
Oh, it's an honor to finally meet you. Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me today.
James speaks so highly of you. Please come sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I have some things that I must do, so I'll leave the two of you to talk.
How may I help you, Luke?
I feel led by the Holy Spirit to write an account of our Savior's life. As I'm not a Jew, and being just a young man at that time, I want to learn about Yeshua's early life. As far as I'm concerned, the best source is you, his mother.
I will do my best to tell you what happened. Where would you like me to begin?
Tell me about your marriage to Joseph. May I presume it was arranged marriage per the Jewish custom?
Yes, it was. As our custom, the fathers of the bride and groom make the arrangements.
Had you met Joseph prior to the agreement?
Yes, Nazareth is a small village, so most everybody knew everyone else. In fact, many of us were distantly related, as Joseph and I were, through King David.
That's what I heard. How well did you know Joseph?
I would see him around the village, but I didn't know him really well. I was just a young girl, and he was already helping his father as a carpenter and a builder.
I see. How old were you when you became betrothed then?
I was a young teen. I was not surprised by the selection. My mother and father would discuss the eligible men in Nazareth. Joseph had been mentioned several times.
May I ask what you felt about the agreement?
I was pleased. I knew Joseph was kind. He and his family had an excellent reputation. I remember that day very well. After they had agreed upon the bride price, Joseph's father poured a little wine into a goblet and handed it to Joseph. I can still see Joseph's hand shaking just a little as he handed it to me, asking me to marry him. If I drank from the goblet, that meant I agreed to the betrothal.
Well, you must have drunk from the goblet.
Yes, I gladly accepted his proposal, and the betrothal was sealed with a traditional blessing.
Did you set a time then for the wedding?
No, that was totally up to Joseph and his father. I only knew it would happen once all the preparations had been completed. That included adding a room to his father's home where we would live once we were married.
Now, Mary, there's talk among some of the believers about a virgin birth and you being visited by an angel during your engagement.
That is so. Sometime after the betrothal, I was doing chores in my parents' home. I remember that day like it happened only yesterday.
Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.
Me? Highly favored? Blessed among women? You must have the wrong person.
Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with Adonai.
My Lord, how can your servant be highly favored when I am but a young woman from a poor family?
Stand, Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you will call him Yeshua. He will be great, and he will be known as the Son of the Highest. Adonai will give him the throne of his father David, and over the house of Jacob he will reign forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.
How can this be, since I am not yet married and have not been with a man?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the Holy One to be born shall be known as the Son of Adonai. And even Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who has been called barren. For Mary, with Adonai, nothing is impossible.
I am the servant of Adonai. Let it happen just as you have said. My Lord, I know you are always with me, and I can lean on you for everything. Anything is possible with you. I still do not understand, but I will trust you.
I can't imagine how afraid you must have been.
I wasn't just afraid, I was terrified.
Did you know right away that your visitor was an angel?
At first I didn't know who he was. He just appeared in the room. I knew it wasn't just a man. When he told me not to be afraid, I can't explain it, but a peace came over me. I was able to focus on his words. When he said the Holy Spirit would come upon me and I would conceive, I was overwhelmed with a love for this new presence in my body. I knew this child and the visitor were from Adonai.
Remarkable! A virgin with a child!
Yes, even though I believed what the angel said was true, it was difficult to know what to do next. I was certain no one would believe me, even if I told them what had happened.
Not even your parents?
Especially my parents. I wanted to tell my mother, but I didn't think even she would understand.
What about Joseph? Could you tell him?
I was scared. I was afraid Joseph would think I had been unfaithful. What really intrigued me, though, was what the angel said about my relative Elizabeth. I told my parents I wanted to go and visit her.
Did your family know that Elizabeth was expecting?
No. We had heard some months before about a priest serving in the temple who came out unable to speak, but we didn't know that was Elizabeth's husband Zechariah. They lived in the hill country of Judea, which was quite a ways from Nazareth.
So you went to see Elizabeth?
Yes, my father arranged for me to travel there. I left a few days after the visit from the angel.
Well, she must have been surprised to see you.
She was, but she seemed to know why I had come before I could even tell her.
What do you mean?
That's odd. We're not expecting anyone. Please come in.
Elizabeth, it's Mary.
Mary. Oh, Mary. Oh, he really moved. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For indeed, as soon as my ears heard your greeting, they leapt for joy in my womb. Oh, blessed is she who believed. for there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told to her.
Elizabeth, do you know what has happened to me?
Well, yes, I do. I believe that when my babe jumped in my womb, it was a sign from Adonai.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in Adonai, my Savior. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
I'm so excited to see you, Mary. We have so much to talk about.
Oh yes, I have so much to say that I must just say it. An angel of the Lord appeared to me and told me I was to give birth to the son of Adonai. He also told me that you too would soon have a son.
Well, as you can see, it's true. When Zechariah was serving in the temple, the angel Gabriel appeared to him, telling him that our prayers had been answered, that I was to bear him a son, and that we were to call him John. He would be great in the sight of the Lord, and he would save the people of Israel.
Hallelujah! Zechariah must have been overjoyed with the good news.
Well, not at first. Zechariah kind of doubted the words of the angel because of our old age. Yeah. So, I lost my line. The angel told him that he would become mute, unable to speak until these things came to pass because of his unbelief.
We had heard talk in Nazareth about a priest in the temple, but we didn't know it was Zechariah, or even if what we heard was true.
It is all true. The angel told him, it's all true. Zechariah wrote down the words of the angel for me, and I believe that when our son is born, my hope is, anyway, that he'll be able to have his voice again. My heart is overjoyed with seeing you, Mary. How long can you stay?
I don't know for sure, but if you would like, I would love to stay long enough to help you with your son.
Oh, that's good. It will be nice to have some assistance. Now, tell me more about your visit from the angel of Adonai. I want to know everything.
Were you able to stay long enough to see the baby?
Oh, yes. I stayed several weeks with John and Elizabeth before I had to return to Nazareth.
Now, I suspect it wasn't too long after you returned that people began to realize that you were pregnant.
Oh, you are correct. I do not want to dwell on that time. My mother was the first to question me. Needless to say, my parents were incredibly disappointed. They did not believe me. I spent most of my time at home, as my parents were ashamed. My father waited as long as he felt possible before discussing the pregnancy with Joseph.
Were you able to explain your visit from the angel to Joseph?
No, I wanted to, but as a betrothed couple, Joseph and I were not allowed to be alone together until after the official wedding ceremony. I did not want to discuss such a delicate subject when others could overhear. Joseph later told me he had planned just to privately divorce me so as not to cause me shame.
Divorce you? But you weren't even married yet.
A betrothal agreement is as binding as a marriage contract, except we could not live together as husband and wife until after the official ceremony.
I can't imagine the shame that a divorce would have brought to you.
Yes, but it could have been worse. According to Jewish law, the penalty for an unfaithful wife is death. Joseph was a good man, so he just decided to put me away privately without the shame of a public trial.
But you did become husband and wife. So what happened to change his mind?
Oh, that's all part of Adonai's plan for the birth of his son. Before he could divorce me, Joseph had a heavenly visitor too.
Adonai, I am ashamed and hurt. Guide my steps and my decisions so that I will follow your will for my life. If I am not to divorce Mary, please make it absolutely clear. And Adonai, I cannot do it now, but at some point, Give me the strength to forgive Mary. Please allow me at least a little rest tonight.
Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the baby she is carrying is from Adonai. She will bear a son, and you will call him Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. All this has been done so that what was spoken by Adonai through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Adonai is with us."
Oh, Adonai, thank you for answering my prayers. I will do what the angel has commanded and take Mary as my wife. Strengthen your servant, Adonai. Make me worthy of the honor of raising your son. Adonai, please.
Praise Adonai. You must tell me what happened next.
As soon as he could, Joseph told me everything about his visit from the angel and confirmed his commitment to me and the child.
Was he able to tell about your parents?
Yes. Oh, he spoke to my parents and they too came to believe the child was from Adonai.
Oh, that must have been such a comfort for you.
Yes, but despite my family trying to keep the pregnancy a secret, there were some in town who suspected. I heard some of the awful gossip. There were times I just wanted to go someplace and hide.
I'm sorry. Now, you and Joseph lived in Nazareth, but Yeshua was born in Bethlehem. How did that happen?
That was really interesting. The Emperor Caesar Augustus declared a census to be taken of all the people in the empire for taxes. The decree stated that everyone had to travel to his ancestral family home for the census. For Joseph and for me, that was Bethlehem.
Now, it's a long distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem, isn't it?
Yes, it's about 90 miles. It took us almost a week to get there. By that time, I was very close to my delivery.
As a physician, I know that such a long journey in your condition would have been incredibly difficult.
Yes, it was. Joseph did his best to make me as comfortable as possible. He was able to acquire a donkey so I did not have to walk the entire way. Still, we had trouble keeping up with the caravan we were with, but we managed.
Did you know where you were going to stay when you arrived in Bethlehem?
We hoped to stay with family. Joseph had relatives living in Bethlehem, but when we arrived, they had no room for us.
Not even for you, in your condition?
Not even for me. They already had family staying there who had come for the census.
So what did you do?
Well, one of his relatives knew of a shepherd's stable just outside town where we could stay. It was cold and dark, but better than sleeping out in the open as we had on the way from Nazareth.
Is that where Yeshua was born?
Yes.
That must have been incredibly hard on you.
It was, but I was overjoyed when he finally came. I had longed for months to hold him in my arms and look into his eyes. It was a comfort to hear his soft breath and to feel his tiny fingers wrap around mine. From the time the angel told me I would bear the son of Adonai, I was overwhelmed with a sense of love for him. This tiny baby was the Messiah, the promised one who would save all people from their sin. It was that love and realization that kept me going when times became difficult. Giving birth there was not what I wanted, but obviously it was what Adonai intended to happen.
Why do you say that?
The shepherds. Adonai wanted the shepherds to see his son in the stable.
Shepherds?
Look, over there. I think we found it. There's something. There's a light coming from that stable.
Isn't that Judah's stable?
There shouldn't be anyone there. I saw Jude and his flock heading for the next hill over from where we were yesterday afternoon.
Maybe he saw and heard what we did.
Let's find out.
Look, there's someone seated near a manger.
There's someone lying down in there also.
We don't mean to intrude, but we'd like to find out where the baby is.
Why would you be looking for a baby in a place like this?
We were in the hills, watching our sheep, when an angel appeared to us and announced that the promised Messiah had been born in Bethlehem.
An angel?
Yes, the sky lit up like it was midday.
What did you feel when you were in the presence of the angel?
At first, I was terrified, overwhelmed by the angel's majestic light.
And then he said, "Don't be afraid." And I could not understand it. I wish I could find the words.
You felt a peace?
Yes, yes. I felt an overwhelming peace and an intense focus on the angel's words. "I bring to you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today, there has been born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord."
Then he went on to say, "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger."
You're leaving out the best part. After the angel made his announcement, he was joined by a whole...
There were hundreds, maybe thousands!
They were all praising God and saying, "Glory to Adonai in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased."
Then, as suddenly as they appeared, they were gone. It was quiet, still, and dark.
I see. So that is why you're here.
Yes, after the angels had left, we were quite determined that we would look and find that baby. We thought it very unusual that the angel would say that we would find the promised one in a manger in a stable. Wait, how did you know about the feeling of peace that I had when I was in the presence of the angel?
I have also been in the presence of an angel. And yes, this is the baby you are looking for. He is the Messiah, the son of Adonai. His name is Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins.
Hallelujah. We have waited for this day for so long. The promised Messiah is finally here.
My grandfather talked with great anticipation about this day, but never came in his lifetime.
I too have longed for this day, but I thought I'd never hope to see it. And you know what? This is all for Adonai. Praise be to Adonai.
Thank you for letting us see him and worship him.
This is a great day for Israel. We must go and tell everyone that what we have seen.
Yes, let us go now and tell everyone.
Oh, wait, please, don't do that. We don't need hordes of visitors. My wife needs her rest.
It's all right, Joseph. This is great news for all of Adonai's people. Go in peace.
Praise be. Isn't this?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Wow.
Was that the last you saw the shepherds?
Yes, they were praising Adonai, shouting praises as they left. And they must have done what they said they were going to do, because people in Bethlehem were talking about the birth of the Messiah for many weeks.
Was that hard on you?
No, not hard, but it gave me many things to think about and to ponder in my heart. I had seen and been a part of amazing things Adonai had done and would continue to do.
It sounds like you stayed in Bethlehem for a while.
Yes, however, when Yeshua was 40 days old, my purification was complete. So we took him to Jerusalem to present him in the temple to Adonai and to offer the sacrifice required by law. While we were there, something happened involving Simeon I will never forget.
Simeon?
Simeon was a devout man who had been waiting many years for the consolation of Israel, the coming of the Messiah.
It is the Messiah! Hallelujah! It is he! Father Adonai, it was revealed to me by your Spirit that I would not experience death until I had seen your promised Messiah. Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai.
Your words, who are they for?
My words are for your child. My words are for you and your wife in times of trouble. My words are for all believers who have waited generations for the promised Messiah. I am Simeon, a servant of Adonai, who was promised that I would see the consolation of Israel, a promise fulfilled in your son.
Let all you say be so.
Hallelujah! Adonai confirms all that I believe on the day of my son's dedication.
It is well that you do this in accordance with the laws of our people. May I hold him?
Yes, of course.
Adonai, you may now take your servant in peace, for I have seen your promised salvation, which you prepared before the faces of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people, Israel. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the hearts of many may be revealed. May I hold him again?
Yes.
Adonai, thank you for letting me see this child, your son, your promised Messiah, who will bring salvation to all who believe. Go in peace, my children.
It must have been reassuring to know what the angel had told you was true.
Yes, there were even more assurances that day. Besides Simeon, there was a prophetess named Anna, who had devoted her life to serving Adonai in worship, fasting, and prayer, never leaving the temple. Her husband had died just 7 years after their marriage, and she remained a widow the rest of her life, well into her 80s. When she saw Yeshua, she praised Adonai and informed everyone who would listen that this was the Messiah.
Being able to share the truth about Yeshua's birth will make this document so much stronger. May we speak of a more difficult subject?
Oh, I'm sure you want to talk about Yeshua's death. I will talk about it as long as I can. I now know what happened, had to happen, but I cannot think about that time without much sorrow.
Mary, when you were in the temple with Joseph, did you understand what Simeon meant when he said, "And a sword will pierce your soul also"?
No, definitely not fully. It was better we did not. Those years would have been too painful if I'd known how he was to die. It was better we did not. When Yeshua was little, we fled to Egypt to save him. I do not know if I would have had the strength to return if I had known. I'm sorry.
No, please do not apologize, Mary. I can't imagine all that you must have endured.
You see, they beat him so badly. They beat him so badly, I could only recognize my son by his voice.
Oh, Mary, Mary.
Generations of women prayed their son would be the Messiah. How foolish they were. If they had understood the prophet Isaiah, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before his shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. There were none of his generation to protest. He was cut off, for he was...
For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And yet, it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And by his righteousness, he will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities.
His crucifixion was the sword that pierced my soul.
And the angel called you blessed among women.
There is no greater blessing than to serve Adonai. I know what happened was his father's will, and it is his father's will that all who believe in Yeshua are saved from their sin.
Yes, it's not just Yeshua's miraculous birth or the sacrifice of his death, but his resurrection that brings us hope.
And joy, hope and joy.
Mary, you've been so gracious to not just me, but to countless other believers who will be blessed by your memories. I see that our conversation has exhausted you. I should let you get some rest.
Yes, I must rest now.
You can't imagine how much it has meant to me to meet the mother of Yeshua. Thank you for your time, Mary.
One more thing, Luke. Just after Yeshua rose from the dead, and just before returning to heaven, he commanded his disciples to declare the gospel to the ends of the earth. I do not have much longer in this world, and likely will not be here when Yeshua returns. Emphasize to all who believe, they must share the gospel, no matter the cost. Everyone must hear. Only by hearing will they have faith, and only through faith will they accept the grace of my son's sacrifice.
Alleluia, Mary. I will share. I will share.
We're going to have the cast come out here in just a moment and take a bow, but just want to read to you what they've been talking about. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of this world, and not based on Christ. This is Colossians chapter 2. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. And you have been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with hands by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of the Messiah. Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. And get this part. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. You know, we hear the message tonight about the angels announcing ahead of time that this little baby is the answer to sin. And so the reminder to us as we stand 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years later, after the cross, we remember that this baby grew up. This baby lived as a man. Jesus walked, taught, ministered to people. And then he was, as you saw, Mary's sorrow here. And we, you know, there's so many details we tend to overlook. And a drama like this brings out the pain and sorrow. If we saw Jesus after he was beaten, after he was put on the cross, we probably wouldn't recognize him if we had been with him before. He was so disfigured. He was so marred and scarred and hurt. It was all because of our sin. And the sacrifice of the cross is such a despicable image, but it's really our image. It's our picture. And what he did for us there is just something that is something we need to not let lightly or quickly go by from this moment. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us. He took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. And he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. So Jesus, who was disgraced publicly by, you know, it would have been us had we been there, but like people by us, he disgraced Satan. He disgraced every spiritual force and every human force opposed to him. That's finished. That's the victory we have. That's the victory that we can share in because of what Jesus did. And the proof of that is the empty tomb. on the third day he rose again, and he is alive now. And so hearing this story, hearing this message, without giving you an opportunity, two opportunities really, and it depends where you are. If you know Jesus, then perhaps you need to just take a moment and thank him again for what he's done. And remember that if you are in Christ, there is now no condemnation for you. And it's so easy, and we do this because we carry some baggage with us as we walk through this weary road, through this life. But it's so easy to focus on our past and to forget the amazing present and the amazing future that we have with Jesus Christ. He's alive now. If you've trusted him, his spirit indwells you now. You are a new creation in Christ. Your sins, I love how King Hezekiah puts it when he stood forgiven. He said, God, you have thrown my sins behind your back. He remembers your sin no more if you're in Christ because of what Jesus went through for you and for me. And his, I'm tempted to throw something behind my back to demonstrate it, but I'm holding a Bible and a microphone, so not safe things. But our sins are not in front of our Father in heaven. So why are your sins in front of you? Why are the sins of your brother and your sister in front of you? He holds nothing against us. He has a forgiving heart. Do you, number one, count yourself forgiven? And do you, number two, have you forgiven your brother and your sister? Have you forgiven those who have sinned against you? Because we're hypocrites. We're liars if we say we love God, but we hate our brother or hate our sister. We're liars if we say we've been forgiven, but we refuse to forgive others, and we make him out to be a liar as well. And that's it's got to be the worst sin, you know, that a believer could commit. But even that sin was paid for at the cross. We need him so badly. If you've not trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then the bad news for you right now is that you do not have eternal life. You're dead in sin, you're separated from God, and you have no hope. The only hope for you is the hope that Jesus provided in the person, well, that the Father provided in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is say, yes, Lord Jesus, I hear this message tonight that I'm a sinner, and that you provided the one-time final sacrifice that pays for my sin. And all you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you, that he rose again on the third day. And you say, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. I receive your payment made on my behalf. And I claim that righteousness, that forgiveness. The righteousness belongs to Jesus, and the forgiveness will belong to you. And he shares his righteousness with you. And if you are there tonight, I would love to talk with you. I would love to talk more about Jesus. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do anything special. You simply, between you and the Lord right now, you just say, Lord, I believe in you. Thank you for dying for my sins. And that's it. He comes and makes his home in you. And you become a part of his family once and forever. I'm just going to pray real quick. I want to pray for you. Wherever you are with the Lord, I just want to pray for you and ask him to bless you tonight. Whether you're recommitting your heart to him, whether you're being reminded of the wonderful gift we have with Jesus, or whether you're saying, Lord, yes, for the first time. Lord Jesus, I want you. I receive you as my Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you, and we stand, Lord God, and sit here as sinners forgiven because of this amazing gift that you have given us. Lord, we just ask your blessing on us as we just continue to fellowship tonight and enjoy the blessing of the Christmas season. Lord God, for each person tonight who has been stirred in their heart, I know that I have, being reminded of this wonderful love you have shared with us, Lord God, I just pray that you would rekindle our hearts, rekindle an excitement for who you are and what you have done for us. And Lord, that you would rekindle in us a love for one another that begins with the love you have poured out upon us. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who has called on your name for the first time, Lord God, I just pray for that individual. Lord, you know who they are. Lord, and we just ask that you would bless that person, that you would begin to teach them, Lord God, and fill them with a knowledge of you that comes from your word and from fellowshipping with other believers. Lord, confirm that decision that they've made tonight. Lord, let them experience forgiveness and wholeness and the new creation in Christ that they are now, that we all are because we've trusted in you. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to do a transition. I think our next segment is here. I'm going to, while they get situated, I'm going to ask Steve and the cast to come on out here, and we want to say thank you for all your work. Good work, guys and gals. Next, I'm going to ask Joe Anderson to come on up, along with Mr. Porter and Mr. Newkirk and Mr. Newkirk.
This first song we're going to do is a well-known hymn, but we rearranged it a little bit so that it has a little bit different musical impact than just the standard singing that's done. Hopefully appreciate that.
So my name's Josiah Newkirk, and yes, this is my dad.
And I'm Gary Porter.
And Joe's the one that came up with our name. We're calling ourselves the Barnabas Four. We started, however, during a time when nobody wanted to do anything, you know. Let's see, what was that called? COVID or something? I thought we should be called the Branch Covidians, but that didn't go over very well, so. I'm ready.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth. Sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So to human hearts the blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the centers in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the holy angels the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord
Emmanuel. What we're going to do is I have this problem, and these guys know about it, but maybe some of you do too. I can't leave things alone. So we did a little bit different arrangement of this song too, O Come Emmanuel.
Veni, veni, Emmanuel, captivum solvei Israel, qui gemit in exilio, privatus ei.
Next song is going to be one for the children. It's going to be one where Jesus says, let the children come to me. Remember that? Well, this song is all centered around that. Oh, come little children.
O come, little children, O come, one and all. O come, little children, O come, one and all.
O come, little children, O come, one and all. To Bethlehem stable, in Bethlehem stall. And see with rejoicing this glorious sight, our Father in heaven has sent us this night. Oh, see in the manger the hallowed light. A star throws its beams on this holiest sight. In clean swaddling clothes lies the heavenly child. More lovely than angels this baby so mild. Oh, come, little children. Oh, come one and all.
This last song we're going to do is one that's, it was popular when I was younger, but I haven't heard it very much anymore. Do You Hear What I Hear? And it's one of those songs that when I heard it, it just, I don't know, it's something stirred inside of me. And I just felt like the Lord compelled me to put an arrangement for this song together that hopefully we'll be able to do it in a way that's going to be enjoyable and glorifying to Him.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, shining in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite.
Do, 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 do,
said the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
Shepherd boy,
do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. The shepherd boy to the mighty king.
Mighty king,
mighty king.
Do you know what I know?
Do you know what I know?
In your palace warm, mighty king.
Mighty king,
mighty king.
Do you know what I know?
Do you know what I know?
A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Silver and gold, said the king to the people everywhere.
Everywhere.
Listen to what
listen
I
to
say.
Listen to what I say.
Pray for peace, people everywhere.
Everywhere.
Listen to what
listen
I say.
To what I say.
I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring goodness and light, and light, goodness and light.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, that concludes our worshipful experience tonight. I hope you have a safe drive home tonight. There are some cookies and coffee out in the foyer. Enjoy the fellowship, and let's just close in prayer. And remember to greet one another as you leave, saying Merry Christmas to one another, just in case you get snowed in this week or are unable to see your neighbors before Christmas comes and goes. But thank you for coming out tonight. And if you see the cast members out there, make sure you thank them for all their hard work. They've been working on this really well. And thank Kevin and Steve for the directing they did. And don't forget to thank the guys in the booth and on the cameras and computers in the back. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you have given yourself to us. Without you, Lord God, we're lost and dead, without hope. But you have revealed yourself, broken into our dark world, shined your light, Lord God. And so we see you, Lord God. We see ourselves and our need. And then we see how you have provided for that need. Lord, we just ask that you'd bless us as we leave here. And Lord, help us to be a blessing, Lord God, to everyone we meet throughout this week as we approach the Christmas day, Lord. And Lord, with you, every day is Christmas. Every day is an opportunity for new birth to happen. So Lord, help us to be proclaiming Christ and carefully explaining what he has done 365 days out of this year. Lord, we love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas.